Buddy.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep that name after this morning, but I'm enjoying it so far. I like the idea of it being my wrestling name. That is good. fun fact, I actually once got disqualified from a taekwondo competition for being too aggressive. Can you believe it? Doesn't make much sense. Anyway, I'm not talking about that this morning. So I am Jack. I work at Tier Fund and I work in their campaigns team there. And it is a joy to be with you this morning and to be worshiping with you. And in the next 10 to 15, or maybe a little bit more, minutes, I'm going to be thinking a little bit about the climate crisis and what God might be inviting us to do in response. Because for us at Tier Fund, this is a huge issue. Tier Fund exists to tackle extreme poverty and to help the local church around the world respond to issues of injustice. But we're seeing that actually the environmental challenges we face now are making that work way harder. And so we're thinking about what it looks like for us as Christians to respond to that. But I want to encourage you, because in my work, I'm hearing loads of stories of the church stepping up and taking action all around the world. You might have heard, I think it was last week or the week before, the Church of England said they were going to cut all of their emissions down to zero by 2030. They've given themselves a 10-year challenge. That includes you guys in the next 10 years. And the Anglican Church of Southern Africa, so a group that represents about 4 million Christians, last year committed to be a zero-waste church, and they said that there is a climate emergency we have to respond to. In Tanzania, near where the communities that you guys support as a church, we've seen groups of Christians starting to pool their money. They don't have loads of it, but saving together and investing in solar panels for rural communities. People who never had electricity are now getting solar panels for cheap and reliable, clean power that helps them to lift themselves out of poverty, people to do homework at night with the light on. Loads of stories like that. But there's one I want to focus on, which is the picture on the next slide. There is only one screen. On the next slide, there we are. So this woman is called Tuwonge. And Dr. Tuwonge is an ecologist. She lives in Malawi and she lectures in a university there. This picture is from London, where I met her last year. And Dr. Tuwonge is an amazing woman. We met her at a conference we ran in Malawi. And on the back of that conference, the Malawi Creation Care Network was born. So it was a group of church leaders and activists and people like Tuwonge coming together to say, what can we do as the church to respond to some of these challenges? Now, as an ecologist, she is passionate about the environment. She is specifically concerned about biodiversity in water and lakes. But she's noticed that in recent years, plastic pollution has become a huge problem in Malawi. Loads of it is being sold, companies are scaling it up, but there's no safe way to get rid of it. And so her and the Malawi Creation Care Network decided they were going to do something about it. So together they planned to do a march through the city of Blantyre, kind of the commercial capital in southern Malawi. And they invited loads of people to join them. So Tuwonge brought two busloads of young people from her church down to Blantyre. And she said on the way, people were coming up with songs and chants and writing signs. And she said, basically, we vibrated down the road to Blantyre on the back of all these chants and excitement. But as they got to the edge of the city, two policemen stopped them. So Tuwonge got off the bus to talk to them. And they said, we've heard about your march, and I'm afraid it can't go ahead. We're not letting you into the city. So Tuwonge stood there wondering what to do. She looked at the buses and everyone was still singing and chanting. And so she said to the police officers, do you want to tell them that they have to go home? And the police officers looked at each other and then they looked at these buses and all of this excitement and they looked at each other again. And miraculously they said, no, we don't want to do that. And so they waved these buses through and the march happened. So through Blantyre, there was loads of people on the streets with Tuwonge and others. And they were talking to street traders, explaining the problem of plastic. They did interviews for TV and newspapers. And they said to the government that if you don't ban plastic bags in the next 10 days, we're going to be back and it's going to be bigger because now everyone's heard about it in the news. And so the government met and they did discuss it. And within those 10 days, they reinstated an old ban that banned plastic bags in Malawi. It was amazing. The companies pushed back and said, oh, this isn't okay. And Tuwonge went to the High Court to fight it and upheld the ban. So plastic bags are no longer allowed in Malawi because of Christians like Tuwonge. Around the world, we're seeing the church rising up to this challenge and imagining a better way, of believing that we can take part in what God is doing, of restoring everything that sin is breaking. It's an amazing story of the church saying enough is enough and standing up to take action. In Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." And there's something going on. I believe it's a Holy Spirit thing in the global church of rediscovering this truth, of saying this earth is the Lord's. And because we know that, and because we know people around the world are made in His image, we're going to choose to live a different way, to believe that a different way is possible. We're rising to this call to be good stewards again. But as many of us know, we're responding because we're in a crisis point. So if you think about creation and wildlife, we're at a really dangerous point. We're seeing extinction rates rapidly grow. Just in the UK, 1 in 7 species is at risk of extinction. It's a crazy, crazy moment. In Australia, at the start of this year, we saw those huge wildfires that swept across the country. And they reckon about 1 billion animals died as a result. Animals that God designed and said, "These look very good. I delight and enjoy in these." And WWF think that's probably a modest estimate of the number of animals impacted. So this is a huge stewardship issue. God says this creation is good. This earth is the Lord's. But for us at Tearfund, the big thing about this environmental crisis is that it is a justice issue. Because the people who've done the least to cause it are the ones already suffering the most. The people that we work with day in, day out, who already live in poverty. As temperatures start to rise, we're seeing storms get more severe, droughts and floods lasting longer and affecting more people. If you are a numbers person, in 2016, world hunger began to increase again after years of it going down. And that is because of climate change and conflict. And lots of that conflict is made worse by droughts and floods and things that are happening. Or in 2019, we saw an increase of 195% of people in the African continent affected by disasters compared to just the year before. 11 million more people. And it's not on the news at the moment, but right now in southern and eastern Africa, there are 45 million people facing severe food shortages because there was record cyclones last year, bigger than we've ever seen. There's been droughts and there's been floods that have destroyed crops. This stuff is huge and it is at crisis point. And I think there's something stirring amongst the church of saying, we can no longer sit by and let this happen. We are rising up like Tuwonge of saying something better can be done. We know we are called to partner with God in this mission of restoring and renewing what is broken. But if you're not a numbers person, let me give you a face to remember. So this is Dakard. Dakard is in his 50s and he lives in Somaliland. He is a watermelon and tomato farmer there, and he's a really good farmer. He knows when the rains have come, and he's been able to grow enough food to pay for education for his children and to provide for the family over years. But he's told us that the rains no longer come when they're meant to. When he knew the schedule of how the weather worked, it's no longer following those old patterns. And they've actually had 3 rainy seasons in a row with drought instead of rain. And so things like that are pushing people like Dakard back into poverty through no fault of their own. I believe God is calling us to stand with people like Dakard this morning. So there are loads of numbers with this issue. If you start to try and read about it, there are loads of numbers and you can get a bit confused around all of them. I've already thrown loads of numbers at you. But if there is one number you remember, it is this one that will be big on the screen now, 1.5. So scientists around the world have been working together to work out what it looks like to respond, where dangerous limits are, and they've said basically we need to try and stop warming at about 1.5 degrees above the average. So we need to stop temperatures rising that much. Beyond that, we start to see dangerous runaway climate change, things feeding back on each other and storms getting worse. And so they said if we can keep it to 1.5, then we can limit the impacts. So if that is the goal, how close are we? Next slide, please. So I did a bit of research for you. This is the temperature change in Manchester from about 1850 to today. And so you can see there's a natural wiggle up and down, hot and cold times. But since about the 80s, about 85, you started to see the temperature rocket upwards into levels we've not seen for a very, very long time. And then you can start to see a new wiggle forming. That's a technical term, a wiggle. as the temperature climbs up, that we're still seeing those hot and cold, but it's climbing way above what is normal. And we're about on there, about 1.1, 1.2 degrees warmer than we should be. So what does it look like for us to respond to this? When we're getting dangerously close to what they say is a safe limit, when we're seeing people like Dakar already affected by disasters, what does it look like for us to respond? Well, I think Paul helps us a lot in the book of Romans. He writes to the church in Rome, and in chapter 12, he says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, I think if Paul was writing today, some of those patterns of the world, not all of them, but some of them might be a pattern of disbelief, of saying that if a hospital gives you a terminal diagnosis, there's no chance of healing. That is a pattern of this world that we don't conform to because we know a God who heals and restores. And so we go in a different direction. We say, no, we know the God of miracles and we pray for change. Another pattern of this world might be a pattern of entitlement that says, I deserve cheap clothes to throw away, even though people on the other side of the world are trafficked to make them. But we know those people are made in the image of God and have immeasurable value. And so we choose not to conform to that pattern. Instead, we choose to honor the image of God in all of those people. Or maybe it's a pattern of overconsumption, of just saying we're going to use up whatever we want because this earth is just here by accident anyway. We'll just use it up, throw it away. But instead, we know the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so we are invited not to conform to the destructive patterns of this world that wreak havoc in creation. But instead, we choose to live another way. And Paul explains what that looks like in the previous verse. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In the Message, it says, "Take your ordinary everyday life, your eating, sleeping, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." That in response to the patterns of this world, we are invited to live a life of worship, where every decision, regardless of how mundane, can be an opportunity to glorify God, of saying, actually, the way I'm going to drink my coffee today is going to be in a reusable cup because I care about the planet. Or maybe it's saying, I'm going to switch energy providers at home, or I'm going to eat a little bit less red meat at home, and I'm going to start changing my practices and patterns. For me, it's looked like cycling a bit more. I really don't like cycling in the rain, but I'm trying. and of saying, actually, I want to do this because not because it's going to change the world, but because I glorify God in doing it. I say, God, you are worth me changing the way that I live. And I want to honor you with all the boring decisions of my everyday. And one of those has been about reducing waste. Me and my fiance have been trying to cut back our waste, and last year we got it in to fit into a jar for the whole year, of just saying, what would it look like to radically live differently, of saying, I'm not conforming to the patterns of this world, but I want to honor God with everything. And so I want to invite you to consider what it looks like to live a life of worship. And Lent is an amazing opportunity for that. It's a few weeks to be like, God, what new patterns can I start to form? How can I begin to honor you with my everyday, ordinary decisions? How can I participate in what you are doing in renewing and restoring what is broken? So I want to finish by inviting you to consider that. So on your seats, you have these cards. They say this is a rubbish campaign card on them. And there are pens at the end of each row, both ends. And I want to invite you on the back, there is a plastic pledge. So that's an opportunity for you to think, what would it look like for me to offer a bit of my everyday as an act of worship to the God who loves his creation? But on the inside, I want to invite you to stand with Dr. Tawonge, to speak up alongside her. So at TFN, we have been campaigning for the past year or so to Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nestle, and Unilever. And we've been calling on them to rapidly reduce how much plastic they create and sell in poorer countries where there's no safe way of managing it. And we've asked them to create good jobs for people who collect waste and to invest in recycling there as well. And 50,000 Christians have signed the petition so far, which has been amazing. And we're starting to see change. So Unilever have already agreed they're going to halve how much new plastic they make by 2025 because Christians like us have said enough is enough and we are going to speak up and call for change. We believe something better is possible. Pepsi are starting to make plans, Nestle are meeting with us, and next week we meet with Coca-Cola, who are the worst plastic polluters in the world, and we get to talk to them saying, Christians around the world are calling you to act. We launched the campaign here about a year ago. It's now launched in Australia, in Zambia. Christians in Nigeria have joined in. A whole group of church leaders in Brazil are speaking up. It's growing momentum within the church of saying enough is enough. Things can and will be better. And so I want to invite you to add your name to that, to stand up with Tawonge, and that is the inside yellow bit, to add your voice, calling on these companies to change the way that they work and to care for this creation and to love our neighbours as we're called to do. If you don't want spam from TFN, that's fine. Just put your name and address. If you want updates on the campaign, you can do the email bit at the bottom. But if you do your name and address, that means that we can count it as a petition signature, but we don't spam you with information that you don't want. So I'm going to give you a moment now to consider that. I've talked a lot. Of what would your plastic pledge be? How could you offer your everyday life in worship? And would you consider standing with us and with Tawonge on the inside bit? So I'll give you a moment for that, and then I'll pray for us as we close.